So good morning.
Good morning.
Now that I'm all relaxed, peaceful, my sermon topic this morning is Who Am I? And before you get too excited about this is the expose, inquiring minds, everything you want to know about Reverend Joy Weiler, I apologize in advance for the disappointment. Because that's not the intention of my sermon today. And just for the record, my language is I preach, and when I preach, there's a sermon. And I know that's not traditional, that a lot of Unity ministers use the language of they give talks or lessons. And that works for them, but for me, preaching is about persuading and inspiring. And that's my intention. My intention is to uplift and to maybe provoke you a little. And so, although I might fall short of my intention on any given Sunday, that's my intention, not to simply stand up here and give a talk. So, the other thing about that persuasion and inspiration is that while I love and value and appreciate the meditation and the contemplative side of Unity, I'm one of those people that's pretty passionate about putting feet to our prayers and going out and making a difference in the world. So, back to the sermon. I'm focusing today on Moses. Old Moses, in the third chapter of Exodus, we find him minding his own business, tending the sheep of his father-in-law, when Moses comes upon a burning bush. Not the regular kind of burning bush, but a flame that does not consume the bush. And if that wasn't peculiar enough, this particular bush then calls Moses' name. Have you ever noticed that when God really wants to get your attention, there are ways to get your attention? And I think this particular burning bush was quite the attention getter. And the purpose was to tell Moses he had a mission. And what a mission it was. Moses, go on down to Egypt, meet with the Pharaoh, and free the Hebrew people, the Israelite tribe. And what was Moses' response? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Good question, Moses. And isn't this our response? When Spirit calls us, we need to examine our lives and we start to question our abilities. Because Spirit is always calling us up higher. Have you ever noticed Spirit's call is never for the easy job? Spirit's call is never for a trip back in time. Spirit's call is to come up higher. So let's look for a few minutes at who Moses is at this point in his life. Moses was born a Jew in a hostile land. And at one of those very difficult moments when there happened to be an edict to kill all the Jewish babies, baby boys. This seems to be a tool that appears periodically in the Old Testament and even on into the New Testament, where to keep the power at an equal level, to unnerve the captured people, to exert that power, they would kill all the baby Jewish boys, weakens the strength of the dissenters. So, how many of us might have some circumstance about our birth that causes us to feel less than powerful? Some circumstance of our birth that we might come to view later in life as a limitation. Maybe something about our physical body. Maybe something about being born into poverty or abuse. Something about our family of origin, our culture, our language. That list of circumstances that we might find problematic is uniquely ours. And it's different for everyone. So obviously the story goes on, so Moses didn't get killed. So what happened? Well, his sister Miriam knew the habits of the Pharaoh's daughter. And in one of those great dramas in the Bible, Miriam puts her baby brother in a basket, hides the basket along the river where she knows the Pharaoh's daughter come. And then, surprise, the Pharaoh's daughter discovers the baby in the basket. And guessing that he might be one of those doomed Hebrew babies, she adopts him and chooses to raise him as her own. And clever Miriam, Moses' own mother, gets called in to be the wet nurse. So this Jewish baby boy is raised as an Egyptian prince. And although that was pretty wonderful, at some point it began to create great turmoil and conflict within Moses, because he knew he was Jewish. He knew that was his inheritance. And so as he grew as this Egyptian prince, there began to feel this feeling that my life is a sham. My life is a pretense. I'm not this Egyptian prince. So this stuff just happens in the Bible, because I know that none of us have ever experienced a conflict between the way we were raised and the truth of our being. Right? That's just Bible stuff. Thousands of years ago, how could they have known anything that would be relevant to us today? Well, one day, the internal conflict in Moses boiled over. He saw an Egyptian beating and abusing a Hebrew slave, and he snapped and he killed the Egyptian. He killed him. Killing and taking the life of another person appears to me to be the act most unlike our true nature. In military service, we ask our young men and women to take the lives of others. And outside of the military, it may be fairly unusual. None of us can say we have taken the life of another human being. And yet most of us have taken some action that we regret. Actions we wish we could take back. Actions that we know at the core of our being are not in alignment with our true nature. So at this point, Moses becomes a criminal. The story goes on, and it becomes apparent Moses really was not destined for a life of crime, because he's not a very good criminal. He buries the body in the sand, not even deep in the sand. The wind blows, and the body is revealed. And guess what? Pharaoh is very unhappy that this young man that he had taken in has now killed one of his Egyptians. So Moses has a choice. Hang around, see what Pharaoh makes of this, or run. And Moses' choice is to run, far and fast. And he makes it to Midian. Now, every day we have choices. And sometimes, honestly, it doesn't seem like we have much choice. And we may make choices that even in the beginning feel voluntary, but we come to regret, we look back on, I could have made a different choice. But here's the interesting thing. All choices, including this choice by Moses, have the potential to be exactly what we need. So Moses settles down in Midian. And he becomes a shepherd. He takes care of the priest Jethro's sheep. Now I want to look at this from a career standpoint. Egyptian prince, shepherd. As he's standing there by this burning bush, contemplating, who am I? His career trajectory might be weighing on his mind. Any of us ever have a little career change that others perceive and tell us is a setback? You know how well-meaning your friends are? They want to help you. And so they feel compelled to tell you, what were you thinking? What kind of choice is that to make? And of course, no one outside us is telling us anything that we're not already speaking loudly inside our head. What a failure. What are you going to do next? You could probably mess up your own funeral. So our culture tends to place a very high value on our productivity, our status, and the wealth of what we do. We tend to invest a lot of our self-worth and self-image in what we do, so that major changes in what we do often produce major shifts in how we think and feel about ourselves. Or maybe that's just me. But maybe that's many of us, that we have had changes in our career, changes in what we do, and we tend to lose confidence in our abilities. We begin to doubt our own wisdom. So Moses not only worked for the priest Jethro, he also married one of Jethro's daughters. And he became not only a husband, but a father. Two new roles that he's taken on when he comes to the burning bush. He now has a wife and family that depend on him. So when we're called by Spirit to come to some task that we feel challenges us, the inventory that we take of ourselves often focuses on our humanity. The sum of all the different aspects of ourselves as we experience life on this material plane. And there's no doubt that we are shaped by all those things, by how we're born, by how we're raised, by our career, by our choices, by our actions, by our roles and relationships. And when Moses looks at all of these, his career highs and lows, and he questions Spirit, who am I? The answer that Moses hears in his heart is not enough. Who he is not enough to measure up to this task that he's called to. So how does the burning bush respond? The bush seems to know this doubt in Moses' heart. And so Spirit, through the bush, says, I will be with you. I will be with you. Are we ever separate from God? Now, we create that illusion in our thoughts, but can we ever really be separate from Spirit? And therefore, since we are never separate from Spirit, can we ever really be not enough? We hold the illusion. We hold the belief that we are not enough, even when we know the truth of our being is whole and complete. The question is, do we believe we are whole and complete? Do we believe that we have infinite wisdom to draw on? Do we believe that we have all the faith and all the strength for anything that we are called to do? At this point in the story, an interesting argument unfolds. And when I read this argument, I hear Moses as kind of a whining teenager. Has anyone ever dealt with a whining teenager? It's not my turn to take out the trash. So Moses, Spirit says, I'm going to be with you. Moses says, but who should I say sent me? Spirit responds, I am that I am. Say that I am sent you. Moses, what if they don't believe me? What if they say you never talk to God? Spirit says, okay, here are some signs. Here are some special gifts that you can demonstrate, and they will know that you are in relationship with God. At this point, you'd think Moses would sort of get the idea. He was not getting out of this. I'm kind of slow at speech. I'm really not good at talking. Oh, for pity's sake, Moses. God's already said, God's got this. So the bush says, I will be with you and teach you what to say. At this point, wouldn't you just relax? Okay, God's in me, with me, teaching me what to say. Moses sort of pushes it over the limit. Please send someone else. Now, this is the Old Testament, and God is often portrayed as anthropomorphic, angry, and judgmental. So at this point in the story, it says, Spirit's kind of peeved. Spirit finally gives Moses help in a way that Moses can understand. Spirit says, okay, your brother Aaron can go with you. Aaron can act as your mouthpiece, your spokesperson. But really, Moses, you're going to have to do the work. It's really going to be you. So finally, Moses packs up his wife and sons and heads to Egypt. Now, Unity does not teach the Bible as the literal word of God, but as a series of stories about the evolution of our own consciousness. And this story is no different. Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore's Metaphysical Bible Dictionary says that Moses represents drawing out. Fillmore says that Moses symbolizes this progressive or drawing out process, which works from within outward. As applied to the universe, the upward trend of all things, the evolutionary law. So this is about moving higher. Moses is not the Christ consciousness yet, but Moses represents the beginning recognition that we have a divine I am at the core of our being, and that we cannot really be separate from it. Here are some key concepts that I take from this passage in Moses' story. When Spirit calls me up higher and challenges me with something new and maybe something completely outside my comfort zone, my first response is often that very human resistance and self-doubt. My first inventory is to review my humanity. And yet, even in the midst of that, I find Spirit reminds me I am more than the sum of my humanity. I am more than every limiting thought I hold about myself. Spirit reminds me I never undertake any task alone, because that I am that sent me is me. Second, neither my humanity nor my past have to go away for me to take on being more than I have ever been. There's nothing in this story that says that the burning bush waved a magic wand and suddenly Moses was a different Moses. Moses was the same Moses he'd always been. He was just called up higher. And I believe this is crucial in our evolution in consciousness. I accept my humanity, for it is the vehicle that carries my divinity into the world. There is nothing I need to change about my humanity to continue to evolve my consciousness. I'm aware of my past, and I use my experience as a teacher, not as a burden. Lastly, no matter how much I doubt myself or how many times I feel I am not enough, that argument with Moses, the universe conspires to support me in being more of my potential, in being more that I am. Spirit has a gift in response to every argument I can raise about my lack of consciousness. And in saying yes, I'm really just opening myself to tapping into my potential and being more of my true self. So who am I to consider leading Unity Church of Lawrence? I am the humanity you see. I have overcome challenges on my earthly path, and I have to continue to evaluate and work on the stories I tell myself about the past. I have made choices, and I have lived with the way that life unfolded from these choices. Now, some people might say I have made mistakes, but I hesitate to call anything a mistake because all the choices that I have made have shaped how I show up today. I bring the gifts of several careers, including healthcare, law, education, and ministry. And I am that I am in potential, and to the degree that I get out of my own way, I am that I am in expression. Each of us brings Spirit into the world, cloaked in a unique form of humanity and bringing our own unique consciousness into the world. The divine paradox is that we are all unique and diverse and yet one. Moses' story is my story. And maybe there were some points in that story that you identified with. Jesus' story is my story. And maybe we have a tendency to put that story on a pedestal. But when we get honest with ourselves, Jesus' story is an example of what is possible in claiming the power of our own I am. We are divine potential unfolding. This ministry is divine potential unfolding. And whatever the unfolding looks like, who are we to not say yes to Spirit's calling? Who I am continues to say yes. So my question for you today and your own work for this week is, what are you saying to Spirit's call to you? So, do we... Do we have transition music or?
Yeah.
Okay.